Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to Dudes on Hockey Podcast. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Well, dude, for the first time in 3 years of the Vegas Cup, we each have a team left standing.
Thank God. It's about
time. We're going to go duke it out mano a mano, dude.
That's right.
Your New York Rangers playing for the memory of Martin St. Louis' beloved mother.
That's right.
Against the evil empire.
And Dominic Moore, too.
Darth Vader and the LA Kings. With their soulless team.
Right. Their robotic team that never stops.
This team, dude, when you know it comes around to game seven, will you concede at game seven? Will you concede, dude? At game seven, you will, before it's even played, you will say, I concede.
Wait, who has home ice?
The Kings.
The Kings have home?
Really? Game seven, dude. You will concede. It will not matter if the Kings have home ice.
I know it won't matter, but I will never concede, dude. I will never.
Game seven?
I will never concede. Kings?
Game seven?
I will never concede, dude. I can win the Vegas Cup this year.
I don't even want to win this damn bet.
I'm glad you don't.
I don't want to win it.
Are you conceding?
No.
I thought not.
I want the trip.
I know you do.
I thought about coming in here and making some sort of huge gesture and refusing the trip.
Yes.
But then I thought about those two beautiful all-expense-paid nights in the Venetian, and I thought, no. I will go.
It's distasteful, but I will take the free trip.
So there's the cup, dude, next to our beloved DB22.
Yep.
Feels like a headstone.
Yeah, it's like a shrine now.
A shrine to the dearly departed.
I know.
Well, dude, we got some stuff to talk about, and we have a little interview today.
Yeah, we have a little chat with Kevin Kurz. There's been some recent controversy surrounding.
Some rumblings.
Yeah, so we ask Kevin Kurz about all of that, and we'll be back after the interview to talk about what does it all mean.
Dude, I just want to say that I like podcasting. And I don't just want to live here.
Good for you, dude. Okay, here we are, joined by Kevin Kurz from CSN California, the Sharks insider. Kevin, thanks for joining us at Dudes on Hockey.
Yeah, no problem.
Well, there's been a lot of movement here, clearly, in the Sharks offseason after the Sharks' terrible result. I guess there's so many different questions here. You know, one of the big controversial moves, I think, was the Doug Wilson's decision to retain the coaching staff. And I guess I might start with this. If it seems clear that Doug Wilson thinks that the right message was sent by the coaching staff. And it wasn't received by the players. And so I guess, did you get any feeling from Doug about why the players are going to be held accountable for this behavior and not the coaches?
Yeah, I mean, he came out and said it right away 2 days after the season ended that he was happy with the coaching staff and bringing them back. And as you said, the problem that I guess they've kind of put their finger on is the message didn't get through. And, you know, if you look at Todd McClellan, if he had been let go by the Sharks, there would have been GMs lined up around the block for him. I think there was a report that something like four or five teams would have been interested in him had he left. And that speaks to his reputation around the league. And getting rid of the coach isn't always the right move. And you really just have to look at what's going on now to kind of prove that point with Alain Vigneault getting let go in Vancouver last year. And, you know, what has he done? He's back in the Stanley Cup final. So, you know, it was his decision. And now the focus becomes you look at the players on the roster, because if there's going to be some change, it's going to take place there.
one of the players that is on the roster and apparently seems to be safe in terms of not moving is Brent Burns, but he will be moving positions. Do you think the Sharks have mishandled this situation in terms of trading for Burns, putting him on D, then moving him to forward, and now moving him back and comparing him to PK Subban? I mean, what sort of expectations should we have for this player?
Well, I'm not ready to say he's safe just yet. He's on a list of guys that could potentially get moved. I mean, I don't think anyone's really safe except for a couple guys here. And really, maybe Doug Wilson saying that he's going to put him back on defense was kind of a reminder to the rest of the league that, hey, this guy's a pretty versatile guy, and it would make his value a little bit higher on the trade market. You know, we don't know at this point, of course, but I wouldn't rule that out yet. In terms of Burns as a player, it was an inconsistent first season for him on defense here. You know, he wasn't terrible, but he certainly wasn't he wasn't their best defenseman by any means that season. And I think that's what they're looking for him to do now, is become that top guy, that replacement for Dan Boyle. Can that happen? I'm not sure. But, you know, they have Larry Robinson here, and Larry's been good for the defensemen. Larry wasn't here Burns' first year, so maybe he helped in that regard. But I think more importantly, you know, Burns was a good forward, a really good forward, and a guy who could score probably 25, 30 goals in a full season as a forward. So I think that leaves a little bit of a hole up front if they're going to move Burns back on defense. But, you know, we don't know what Doug has planned otherwise here moving forward. So, we'll have to see, obviously, how Burns plays as a defenseman in his second year, but I do think having Larry Robinson around will help him in that regard.
Before we get to sort of the big topic of the offseason so far, Joe Thornton, I want to ask you one more question. You mentioned the young core, and you said maybe only two or three guys are not movable. And Doug Wilson said specifically he wants a younger and harder, more aggressive team that will stick with it. Assuming, you know, the core of the team will be Couture, Pavelski, and Vlasic, I think neither Doug nor I would necessarily describe any of those guys as hard and aggressive. Do you disagree with that assessment?
Well, Pavelski and Couture, I think, are a couple guys, all three of them really, are guys you can start out with and identify as this is a good core we can build a team around. Now, you know, who knows what's going to happen to these guys after, you know, if they get a bigger chunk in both the leadership of the team and ice time. And obviously they get a lot of ice time as it is, but you know, if a Thornton is moved out, if a Marlowe is moved out, Dan Boyle won't be here. You know, these guys are going to be counted on even more to lead the team. And, you know, I think Couture has proved that he can be a very good player in this league. Maybe giving him a leadership role, maybe he embraces that and kind of takes the next step in his career. And, you know, same with Vlasic. But, you know, I like all three of those players. I don't think there's any problem with any three of those guys.
We know at the trade deadline, you had reported that Ryan Callahan was close to being a Shark in terms of maybe the Sharks were in talks with a deal with the Rangers. I know we shouldn't probably expect the Sharks to be players in the free agent market, but is it possible they may rekindle their interest if they're looking for leadership and not a terribly old player, but a good veteran character player that I would describe as hard and aggressive? Could they be in on Callahan?
It's possible, but I don't expect them to get in any bidding wars. And Doug has basically said as much when we asked him a couple weeks ago, could the Sharks be more active in terms of getting one of these top free agents? And he doesn't, and he basically said probably not. So, you know, maybe Callahan isn't the kind of guy that's going to command a huge salary. I don't think he's probably going to get what he was asking for when New York traded him, but I'm sure that I would imagine they're going to at least revisit that because, as you said, yeah, they were interested in them, and I've heard that a couple different places. So we'll have to see what happens there.
In a recent column, you were talking about maybe it's time for Joe Thornton and the Sharks to part ways, and I know, contrary to maybe some of your readers, we didn't necessarily take that as you advocating for trading Joe Thornton, but that seems to be sort of the the buzz in the Sharks community and among Sharks fans now. Tim Kawakami wrote an article about it, and Mark Purdy sort of alluded to it, and plenty of others. But on the other side, it seems like John Thornton, who is Joe Thornton's brother and agent, has sort of fired back on Twitter, and he responded to Bob McKenzie's thought about being traded with, quote, "So a buyout then?" Does this mean that Joe Thornton will not agree to being traded?
Well, it might. And obviously that's kind of the corner that Doug Wilson's painted himself into if Joe doesn't want to waive his no trade clause. Obviously, we're not sure what's going on through Joe's head right now. And we don't even know for sure if Doug wants to move Joe, but I think all signs kind of point to that right now. Cause if you want to turn the team over to the younger core, and Doug used the phrase, new players in core leadership roles, that's obviously going to mean, a new captain. And I don't know that Joe, I don't know how Joe would handle getting the C stripped. And if you're going to take the C off his jersey, the worst, you at least owe it to him to try and move him, in my opinion. And then if he says no, you go from there. But I think it would be a complicated situation if you have, say, Joe Pavelski be the new captain and Joe's still in the room. I don't think that's fair to Joe Pavelski. I don't think that's fair to the rest of the guys on the team. Again, that's Joe's right. If it is a full no trade clause, which is what we believe it to be, it could be a complicated situation when the season goes around.
Another thing that John Thornton responded to was in Tim Kawakami's column, where Kawakami said that the Sharks want to, quote, change the cozy culture of the locker room. And then John Thornton responded to that by saying, a culture established by who again? So I guess my question to you is, who do you think has the biggest say in dictating the culture of the locker room in your experience in being around the guys and the coaches and management? Is that a culture that's dictated by the players? Is it dictated by the coaches, the management?
Well, it's everyone, obviously. But at the end of every season, the general manager has exit interviews, and he sits down with every single player and gets his honest thoughts. And Doug's already alluded to the fact that this year those meetings were probably the most open and honest and introspective of the organization that he's had since he's been here. So, they've identified the problem as a problem in the room. And they've already kind of indicted the leadership group by saying that the message didn't get through from the coaching staff to the team. And obviously the coaching staff, I have to take some of the blame of that as well. The general manager has to take some blame for what has gone on here for however many years now of not getting it done in the playoffs. So, everybody has their opinion. Obviously, John's Joe's agent, and he's going to protect him, and
of course,
as he should do. I don't think anyone is saying that this is all on Joe Thornton, because it certainly would be a ludicrous suggestion. It's not all on one player. It's not all one player's fault. But, we know the general manager is coming back. We know the head coach is coming back. We've been told that there's going to be change among the team's leadership, and he's the guy that wears the C. So that's where the focus is going to go.
Kevin, we want to thank you for being on the podcast. I got one more question for you. When Mike and I were watching the interview that you and Jim Cosmore did with Doug Wilson and Todd McClellan, we noticed Doug Wilson said something in a description or a discussion about the owner, Hasso Plattner. He made a comment that we're fortunate to have an owner who kept the team here, or he had some sentence like that. Did you catch that? We were wondering, is there anything to that, or is that just a bizarre phrase?
I guess that went over my head. I don't remember that much, other than he said that money's not going to be an issue in spend to the salary cap. So I don't know. I'll have to go back and listen to that again.
Are we moving to Seattle?
No, I wouldn't worry about that just yet.
Okay, well, Kevin, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. We really appreciate it, and we'll certainly be reading all of your columns at CSN throughout the summertime, and we look forward to hearing from you sometime in the future.
Yep, no problem. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Kevin. Well, dude, food for thought.
Yeah, I mean, especially your last question, dude. The tweets from John Thornton, which, you know, I mean, of course he is Joe Thornton's agent and he's going to defend him, but he's also his brother.
Yes.
Which I think maybe has more to do with this than the agent part.
Sure.
Because you don't normally see agents going on the offensive on Twitter, right? I mean, well, Alan Walsh does sometimes.
Yeah.
And he's gotten into some big Twitter tiffs.
Beefs.
Right?
Yeah.
But normally an agent will just be silent. Because how does that really... How is this helping the situation for the player who has been completely silent? Completely silent.
Well, people sometimes communicate to the media or social media through proxies. It's hard to say that John Thornton isn't plugged in.
Of course. Well,
to what Joe's thinking about.
Sure. I'm sure he's exactly plugged in. I'm just saying, I don't know. This was a zero a couple days ago, and now it's on a low simmer, you know?
Yeah.
Now, for him to come out and say, what, a buyout, has us all wondering, well, so Joe Thornton doesn't want to leave. Maybe the Sharks want him to leave, and they're at a total stalemate.
Right. We could have a full-on player versus management controversy here. That's the surprising thing. It's not surprising to see John Thornton, or even strange, I think, for an agent or a brother to take up the cause, you know, defending his boy, as he absolutely should. The interesting part is that he seemed to have tipped his hand in terms of what the player will and won't agree to, right?
Yeah, I guess. It could just all be posturing. I mean, in this kind of situation, right, this is a much more impossible situation for Joe Thornton than it is for the Sharks.
Oh, that's true.
Because if the Sharks, and we are speculating, everyone.
Of right? course.
But if the Sharks have said, we think this team is better served without you being around, mm-hmm. and he says, I don't want to go. Mm-hmm. I like living here. Mm-hmm. And then Doug Wilson goes to the media and says, we want players who want to do more than just live here.
Right. Right.
All right.
That was the quote, okay? Right?
That was the quote this week to tell Tim Kawakami, which that quote to me is directed to three people. Patrick Marleau,
right.
Joe Thornton, and Brad Stewart.
And Brad Stewart. Yeah.
All right. Those are the three people who you look at and you go, they're here. Well, we know Brad Stewart's here because he wanted to be closer to his family.
Of course.
So the Sharks signed him. They gave him a three-year deal. And now he's got 1 year left at 3.6. And based on his performance last year, he's not worth that money anymore.
It's true.
True? Mm-hmm. So you've got those three guys lumped into that category. But if they've said all this to Joe Thornton, he's just going to come back and be a sourpuss? I don't know.
Yeah.
I would think at some point he'll say, fine. All right.
And that's one thing. That's another thing Kerr said, right? Which is, you know, Doug Wilson sort of put himself into a corner on this deal because, you know, he came right out basically and said there's going to be this major change. And if there isn't a major change, well, we know who to point at.
Yeah.
Saying somebody didn't get it done.
Well, we've said this. You said this. Doug Wilson's neck is on the line.
Yeah.
I mean, he has said there are major changes coming. And if nothing happens and those major changes are Burns on D, no more Dan Boyle, and Pavelski gets the C,
mm-hmm.
then that's not enough. I mean, that's not enough.
Yeah.
Right? There's nothing different.
No. So, no.
I was feeling a whole heck of a lot more optimistic until I saw those John Thornton tweets.
Right.
And now I'm worried. I'm concerned.
Right, because we could have a full-on dysfunctional family Christmas here. With Joe Thornton saying, I'm not going anyplace, and the team saying, no, really, why don't you get out of here? And he says, no, and they say, no, really, get out of here. And we got 3 years left. I suppose, of course, the Sharks could buy him out, right, as John Thornton said, but that would seem
that
ludicrous.
There's a 0% chance of that happening.
I understand. I guess, you know, the question that is unanswered and certainly unanswerable at this time is, if this relationship between management and Joe Thornton is at least testy, as it seems right now, and he doesn't want to move, is it possible to repair it? Because maybe, like it or not, he might be on the team next year and the year after.
I think even with a testy relationship, that Joe Thornton is not coming back. Like, he will not be back. And this could just be a way for the Thorntons to be gaining some leverage in terms of, I mean, we've seen Martin St. Louis apparently wanted to go to New York for the last 3 years and he wouldn't accept a trade anywhere else. He said, trade me to New York. And somehow, by some miracle, they got an amazing return for him.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe Joe has said, I will go to this one location. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Columbus.
And if you can't make a deal there, then I'm not going.
Right.
So that puts Doug Wilson in a terrible position, and in similar to the Luongo to Florida position, where you're trading a all-star Olympic goalie to Florida, and in return you get a washout goalie prospect who was not able to get playing time in one of the worst teams in the league,
right,
and a third liner. So this might be what we're looking at here. I mean, I'm serious.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
I know. No.
You know that we could be in a position here where the Sharks return, we should have very
Boyle straight up.
We should get, we might be lucky
to get Brian Boyle.
Well, he's going to be unrestricted. That'd be even worse.
Yeah, that would be worse.
To get a very underwhelming package. And that might be, if we're also reading tea leaves, and Doug Wilson has said several times, we're going to have to take a step backwards to move forwards. And maybe that's what he, I mean, you're not going to trade Joe Thornton for the number one pick. Like, that's not going to happen. Stuff like that isn't going to happen. We're
right.
not going to get a magic trick on this.
Dude, I think I have a crazy trade from an email. Let me hit the crazy trade button.
I'm going off the rails on a
crazy trade. All right, email this week from Patrick. You can email us at questions@dudesonhockey.com. Patrick says, hey, dudes, crazy trade here. Would you trade Thornton for Dustin Byfuglien? Seems like the word on the street is Jumbo needs to go. Why I don't necessarily feel the team would be better without Joe, I can see why it may need to happen. Jumbo for Big Buff. Winnipeg seems to have some young scorers, but nobody to set them up. Jumbo could help them out in that department, and Buff would bring that hard-nosed physicality Doug Wilson seems to be looking for. He has that edge to his game and is a proven winner. Can play D or offense, which may or may not make for tough choices given Burns is a right-handed player. Not a bad problem to have. Is Thornton enough to bring Byfuglien to San Jose? Would Jumbo even consider playing in Winnipeg? Should San Jose be asking more? Dude, questions abound.
Would I want Dustin Byfuglien? Yes. Do I think he would approve a trade to Winnipeg? Absolutely not.
Yeah, I agree.
Absolutely
with you.
Not. I think that's probably in the bottom five of places that people want to play, because the fans are awesome.
Right. It's a great hockey
it's
market.
It's a great hockey market, but it's apparently one of the worst hockey markets to live in. And
yeah,
for a guy who seems to value his quality of life,
mm-hmm.
and he's played in Boston, great city, San Jose, great city, Winnipeg, butthole.
Right. It's negative 20,
yeah.
6 months, 9 months of the year.
Him going, would I want Byfuglien? Yes. Him going there, that's not going to happen. I don't see him. That's why I threw out Philadelphia last week, because
right.
I could see him going to a city like that, mm-hmm. you know? Although the pressure might be way too hot for him. I don't know. Dude, I've looked at teams. I've tried to convince myself of landing spots for Joe Thornton. Does Winnipeg need a player like him? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And would they die to have him? Yes. But that's not going to be a trade partner. Like, he's not going to want to go there, you know?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Right? There's no chance. I mean, I like Dustin Byfuglien. I certainly wouldn't mind.
Now, maybe there's a separate deal for Dustin Byfuglien. What about Brent Burns for Dustin Byfuglien?
Isn't that same?
No, Dustin Byfuglien is a much more proven player.
Then why would Winnipeg make that trade?
Because Dustin Byfuglien has eaten all...
There's no more food left
There's
in Winnipeg.
There's no food left
okay.
in Winnipeg.
Too easy.
Sorry.
It's okay. Dude, let's go to Eric, who's attempted to be quiet in the aftermath, but his time has passed. He'd like some opinions. His question is, although Thornton was disappointing, he was also or equally disappointed with Pavelski and Couture. Why are they getting a free pass? Dude, why are Couture and Pavelski getting a free pass after this terrible playoff result?
Well, I think Pavelski's getting a free pass because the guy was asked to, you know, take the orders, cook the food, take the orders to the table, bust the tables, and then lock up at night. I mean, he was asked to do everything. I mean, what are you supposed to get from this guy?
Right.
He's supposed to center the third line and then five shifts later play wing on the top line. That's unreasonable. I mean, I know they're just playing a game, right? But sure. If you don't know what your role is and it's being shifted mid-game, I mean, those are two big differences. I mean, that's two totally different styles of play. And I don't think that's fair to put as much blame on him as you do for the guy who is behind the wheel of a 5-on-3 that stands completely still. And that's Joe Thornton.
Right.
All right.
Yeah. He's,
so
he's
I think
the
it's
guy.
A big difference to the guy who I can't even remember how many shots he took in that last game, 14 or something like that. Mm-hmm. Pavelski took like an incredible amount of shots and Joe Thornton won't even shoot.
Right.
I mean, I think that's the difference.
Right.
Couture. I think I've talked about this. I don't know if we aren't overvaluing Logan Couture. Mm-hmm. This is a guy that we thought was a lock to make the Canadian Olympic team. Didn't happen. Now I know he was injured, but they took Stamkos.
Yeah, well, right? Stamkos scores 80 goals a year.
Sure, but they weren't afraid to take an injured player, right?
Yeah.
Is Couture in that category? Would he have made the team over some of those other guys?
I think so. If he was healthy, I think he would have made the team. But now we're speculating about something that happened long ago.
Has the locker room culture that they're apparently trying to fix been a negative in the development of these players? I mean, and it's possible. I'm not saying Joe Thornton and Patrick Marleau are a couple of a-holes, right?
Yeah.
We're just saying
locker room cancer.
Right. I clearly, that's not the case. They seem like good dudes, right?
Sure.
But there's a difference. I mean, there is a difference between the San Jose Sharks and the evil empire of the LA Kings.
Yeah.
You don't want to meet the LA Kings in a hockey backroom alley. They will beat your ass.
Right.
And they will take your lunch money.
That's true.
Well, the Sharks might want to take you to a puppet show. Have a few laughs.
That's true.
You know, it's just a different mentality, right?
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I think there's a certainly a never say die attitude that the Sharks did not show in the playoffs that the Kings do show. They're down 2-0 in Game 7 in Chicago. Who cares? We'll come back. We'll win in overtime.
You texted me, Kings are down 2-0. I said, they're still going to win.
I know. You did, and you were right. And it was ridiculous, especially the winning goal, which sucked.
So I think we ask Kurz this, and you know, he's around this team all the time, whereas, you know, Doug Wilson says he wants harder, faster players, and he kind of came to the defense of Vlasic and Couture and Pavelski and said he believes that those guys are players like that. I don't agree with that. I think they are good players. Hard, fast, and aggressive. I wouldn't describe any of them as that.
Right.
So are we just setting ourselves up for more disappointment?
Well, Eric says winter is coming, which I appreciate in an email. I think there's a significant chance that winter is coming here. Maybe not the 1,000-year Game of Thrones winter, but it might be a couple seasons.
You mean thumbs in your eyes, crush your skull kind of winter?
Hopefully not that. Oh, man. All right, let's go to Tom. The quote from an article he got from the Sun-Times, the Chicago Sun-Times, is, maybe Bowman says the heck with it, offers up Patrick Sharp, whose stock will never be higher coming off of a career season, and makes a massive deal with the Sharks to bring in Joe Thornton. That would do the trick. Obviously, the Chicago Blackhawks aren't so happy about their result.
So they're going to fix it with Joe Thornton?
He's a setup man.
There's no way that Doug Wilson and Chicago come together on a deal like that.
It's true.
Well, maybe it makes sense.
I wouldn't mind Patrick Sharp.
Maybe it makes sense.
Given the rivalry and the
West Coast rivalry thing. And, you know, actually, now I'm kind of talking myself into it a little bit on Joe's behalf that, you know, he would walk into that situation in an established locker room where he would not be the guy or the second guy or even the third guy.
He's like Marian Hossa. Like, Marian Hossa was an ultra mega superstar when he signed with Chicago, and he is the fourth or fifth most talked about player on the Blackhawks right now.
That's not going to happen.
He would be the center version of Marian Hossa. But you're right. It's not going to happen because those two teams aren't going to trade with each other.
The Sharks will want Joe Thornton as far away from them as humanly possible.
Right.
Which is exactly what Boston did
mm-hmm.
by sending him to us.
That's true.
Maybe we'll send him back to Boston.
Maybe. Oh, man. Okay, dude. A friend of mine, Jeremy, says, what about Jumbo to the Panthers for the first overall?
Yeah.
Dale Talon has said he'll move the pick.
Yeah. I think I already said that. No. That Florida won't do that. And Joe won't go to Florida.
That's true.
Would
you do it?
Joe for the first overall? Yes.
Of course.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, because you're... And that's an acceptable step backwards. You go, okay, well, you get... You don't take the kid who can't do any pull-ups. Bennett, is that...
Yeah. You take Ekblad.
You take Ekblad.
Yep.
And you see what happens.
Right.
I mean, like, that's a once-in-a-lifetime kind of opportunity, right?
You know, this brings up an interesting point. I don't know how much we've talked about it, but if you think of all of the teams that have won the Stanley Cup in the last 6 years, all of them have had players that have been picked in the top five recently, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of them. And the Sharks haven't had a top five pick since 1997 when they took Patrick Marleau with the number two pick. Now, obviously, they made the most of that one. They made a trade for Joe Thornton, but that's still a 1997 pick. Every other team, the Kings, the Blackhawks, the Bruins, all these guys, they had young players drafted in the top five. Are we fooling ourselves by thinking that the Sharks are going to win with a format different than that?
Possibly.
Yeah.
Possibly.
I mean, is this the Sharks have to tank, get a top five pick, and then they can finally come back?
But they will not do that under this management.
Well, they might do it without meaning to do it. May not do it on purpose. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I mean, maybe that'll be what's going to happen. We've both said that we'd be okay with a step backwards.
Yes.
Or maybe even two or three steps backwards if there's a plan moving forward. And if the Sharks are going to move away from Joe and move away from Patty and have a clearly defined core and bring in younger players, I'd be okay with that. Like, I could get behind that.
That's right.
Because the window is so nailed shut right now.
That's right.
It is so shut because the Sharks are nowhere close to the Kings, clearly.
Yeah.
And they're not close to Chicago, especially when they have Joe Thornton next year.
Right.
And the Ducks are ahead in line.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some teams on the rise.
Yeah.
Minnesota and
Colorado. Yeah.
So you got to be very, very careful here. And maybe that is the answer, is to go backwards, be really smart with your picks, get some good young players for these veterans, and try and rebuild a little bit. Maybe missing the playoffs wouldn't be the worst thing that's ever happened.
That's true.
To this team. The problem is going to be is if... You're right. They need to be like the fifth pick. They can't be the 14th.
Right. That's not going to do a whole lot. They're like the first, you know, the team that almost made the playoffs.
That's not going to help.
No, it's not.
That doesn't help.
But you know what what will be worse is if the Sharks become the new Calgary Flames, which is they hold on 4 years too long thinking that somehow they can make a run. That would be the worst possible outcome for in my opinion. They hold on to Joe. They hold on to Patty. I don't think it's going to happen, clearly, from what Doug Wilson has said. But they sort of hold on to this idea that's been thoroughly dismissed by the rest of the league, saying, yeah, somehow we can still find a way. You know, and maybe Calgary was a victim of their own success in making the Cup Finals as an eighth seed, you know, those years ago. But, you know, clearly the Sharks haven't done that. But that would be the worst to me, is if the Sharks, for the next 3 years, they maintain a good enough team to lose in the first round.
Yeah.
And then they finally come to the conclusion, when Joe Pavelski's 33 and Logan Couture is 30, hey, maybe we need some better players.
But couldn't you say that's where we are already?
No, we're not there already.
Yeah, you don't think so? This team has won one playoff series in 3 years.
But so
aren't we there?
We're there now. I mean, we're certainly
there. We peaked, dude. The peak happened.
Oh, the peak.
We made the Western Conference Finals twice. That was it.
Yeah.
Like we had, and we lost to 2-2. We got waxed.
Yeah.
Twice.
Yeah.
And then since then, they've won one series.
I agree with you that we've peaked, and I agree with you that we're on the downslide. I think the difference between us and the Flames is that the Flames rode that downslide for a long time.
Right.
And a lot of people picked the Sharks to do very well this year, and they were wrong, and we were wrong. And the Sharks now say, okay, tough pill to swallow, but we're swallowing it, and we're going on to the next phase.
Let's play a little game, dude. Do we have some game show music?
Let's see. What kind of game show music do you want, dude? Oh, wait, no.
Dude.
I'm just kidding.
There we go, dude. All right. Let's play. What city will Joe Thornton accept a trade to? All right, dude. I'm going to throw some cities out at you that I believe could be interested in Joe Thornton. So, for example, I will not say a city like Pittsburgh because they have no need for Joe Thornton.
Right.
All right?
Okay.
I'm not taking into account cap or any sort of return.
Okay.
You are Joe Thornton.
Okay.
Okay. Take off your shirt.
Okay. Done.
Okay, dude. Here we go.
Here we go.
Buffalo.
No.
Calgary.
No.
These are the teams I think will be interested.
Okay.
Florida.
Absolutely not.
Carolina.
No. This is an easy game show so far.
I know. Well, dude, I'm trying to paint a bleak picture here.
Okay.
Ottawa.
Very unlikely.
St. Louis.
Possible, but they're in the same boat as Chicago. I don't think the Sharks would want to trade.
I'm not asking for commentary. You are Joe Thornton. Would you go?
Yes, sir.
Would you go?
Would I go to St. Louis? Yes.
Washington.
No.
Detroit.
No.
Columbus.
Oh, yeah. No.
Tampa Bay.
Nope.
Montreal.
Maybe. Maybe.
Boston.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah, I'd go to Boston. Okay. Go back.
Philadelphia.
Maybe.
Minnesota.
Yeah, they're on the rise.
Okay. Those are the teams that I'm looking at a list here of teams that I think might be interested in him.
Not Toronto, huh?
Randy Carlyle and Joe Thornton?
Yeah, that's true.
Don't see it. I don't see Randy Carlyle wanting to have anything to do with him. I mean, like, I don't see that style of play meshing. You know, in theory, yes, they need someone like him. I mean, they do, but they need the player, the personality with that coach and with that market. I don't see him. So I don't know. It shows the limited options.
Little bit of a bleak picture here.
A limited option.
Well, dude, let's talk about finals predictions. I mean, try to put aside the fact that you have LA and I have New York. I mean, Let me ask the question, let me ask not a 50-50 question here. I mean, here's the question that's sort of posed to everybody. Do the Rangers even have a shot of winning here?
Yes.
They do?
Yes. Absolutely.
How are they going to win?
Well, I think that they have a goalie that is playing extremely well.
Yeah.
They did not have to go through the physical pounding that the Kings have endured in three straight series.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be guys on that Kings team that are playing extremely hurt.
Oh, yes.
You know?
There's got to be, right?
There's got to be. I mean, when we saw the list of guys who are playing hurt for the Sharks, and that's, they're not using an excuse, but when there are guys on that roster that are severely banged up, I think that the Rangers have the same kind of magic feeling that you see around some teams that catch lightning in a bottle that mm-hmm. maybe don't have any business being there, but then they find a way to get it done.
Right.
I wish that we didn't have a Vegas bet, dude, because I'd be all over the Rangers right now. I'd be so excited. But because of that,
right.
I have to root for the Kings.
Eesh. What's your prediction, realistically? Try to keep the bet out of it.
Kings in seven.
Yeah, I think Kings in six. I mean, honestly, and as much as it pains me to say it, the Kings have found a way to win these games.
Yeah.
Time and time again.
I would not be surprised if they lose the first one, though.
Kings. Yeah. Yeah.
Rangers win the first one. Right. I wouldn't be surprised if they go down 2-0. Just no other, they know no other way.
That's true. And they fight their way back, and that's that. I hope you're right that the Kings are too banged up to come back yet again. And I think that they haven't faced a goalie of the caliber of Henrik Lundqvist yet. And I would like to hope that Lundqvist will distract them a little, frustrate them a little, like none of the other goalies they faced. Corey Crawford was good for stretches, not so good in others. You know, and obviously the Ducks have their own goalie problem. So I'm hoping this is a kind of player in the net that they haven't seen before, and the Kings are going to not really know what to do. They don't score that much as it is. Maybe they won't be able to get on the board at all, you know, and Marty St. Louis will rise as he has risen many times in the playoff, you know, has risen certainly the year they won the cup and other serious situations. God, I want to see that so bad. I would hate to see the Kings win again. Jeez, dude.
The path for the Rangers hasn't been as grueling, dude. I mean, they played the Flyers, which was, you know, a tough series, but the Flyers aren't that good, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're all right.
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I mean, a team that is considered an elite team but has serious flaws.
Yep.
You know? And then Montreal, they go up against a Habs team that are without their best player.
Mm-hmm.
And Carey Price. So the Rangers haven't done what the Kings have done, which is come back in historic fashion against the Sharks, beat the number one seed in the Ducks in seven in another comeback, and then beat the Blackhawks, which I think everyone considered to be the best team.
Right.
That was left. So,
yeah.
Yeah,
it's looking like the Kings' year, but the Rangers might have had a slightly easier road, and that can make the difference.
Yeah,
I'm hoping. I know neither of us are excited.
I know. I'll be excited when I'm at the pool.
Yeah,
smiling at you. Will this be the last year of the bet?
Of course not. I have not yet begun to fight, dude, and we have not yet begun to podcast. We're going to be back again next week.
Yeah, we got one more piece of big news, though, dude. You know what I mean?
What's
the
that?
The report, and we didn't ask Kurz about this, but we should have. The outdoor game.
Oh.
Reported.
What will we ask Kurz about?
Oh, who's it going to be against?
Who cares?
I care, dude.
Really?
Yes.
It's just a game.
It's the outdoor game.
I know.
I can't wait to bundle up in the 80-degree weather.
No.
We'll sit close together and sip on warm Coke.
I'll put on my light jacket.
I'm honestly, like, I'm excited for the team and for the fans who are interested in going, and, you know, I'm sure they'll sell out Levi Stadium or wherever they have it, but
mm-hmm.
I look at that and I go, do I want to pay $100 to sit in the upper deck, you know, thousands of feet away,
right,
from the action,
right,
and barely see these ants skate around on the ice? You won't even know what's happening, right?
That's right. You have to watch the Jumbotron for most of the game. I certainly people are going for the experience. And, I mean, the novelty of it being played in a warm climate is just that, a novelty. I think there's a lot more charm when it's associated with hockey's roots, playing outside, playing in the cold, all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And given how many outdoor games there have been, the shine is off the rose on this deal. I mean, honestly, I don't think I would go. I don't think I would go.
Dude, yeah. Dude!
You know, I mean, if it's $200, dude, really?
Dude? Nah, I feel the same way.
I'll reevaluate, I guess.
I think I would be very tempted to go for the...
The pageant
story of it, you know, but... Yeah. But not supremely motivated.
Right. You're certainly not going because you want to see a great hockey game.
I don't want to go see our crappy team lose on the, you know, outdoors. They're taking a step backwards this year, don't you know?
Right. Exactly. All right, dude. Well, we're getting closer and closer to the draft here, and there's been activity at the draft in recent years, so we'll have lots more to talk about next week.
Sounds good.
Dudes on Hockey, dude. I'll talk to you then.
Show? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.